Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of my podcast. We have a very special guest today joining all the way from Quezon City. We got social media sinister Ken Warren joining the podcast. Hi Ken.
What's up, China? Thank you for having me in the China podcast. What's up, everyone? Thank you for tuning in.
Yeah, so how are you? How are you? How's everything?
And I'm getting by. You know, the pandemic's really kicking everyone's behinds for the past 2 years now. What's odd is actually pandemic hit me a year later. So it started 2020, right? Around latter of March. So at the start of March, the start of the pandemic, I was really hyped up. I was like, no, is the world ending? So if the world is ending, let me try to achieve my long-term, and as we call it in Filipino, suntok sa buwan, you know, punch to the sky kind of goal, which like to have a pro wrestler body, you know, this is the physique in my size, at least, achieve a wrestler's physique in a 5'5", 5'7" when wearing wrestling boots type of physique. So I did that, so I had my pandemic fitness journey, just like everyone else. And yeah, a year later, that's when it hit me, like, dude, it's not stopping anytime soon in Southeast Asia. So yeah, it's just a little setback. I'm in my bulking phase, and it's just time for regroup. But hey, man, besides that, it's all good. How about you, brother?
Yeah, I mean, we got stuck at home. So I know, actually, I started this podcast because of the pandemic, so which is a great thing anyway. So Ken, how did this pandemic affected your like workout? Because as a wrestler, you know, you have to keep fit, right? You have to keep your physique. So how did that affected that?
So it affected it in a lot of ways. As I was able to mention earlier, it affected it in a more positive way at the start. So I was really determined. I was like, nope, the world is ending, I might as well achieve my body goals. that was my mentality. Like, I'm not going to let the world stop me from achieving my goals, regardless of the situation. Which brings me back to, which brings me to the topic. If you really want it so bad, you need to go the extra mile. You know, no excuses. Everything is a choice. It's just a matter of picking the right choice. Making the right choice. And the hardest opponent to face, I don't mean to be a motivational speaker for a second here, but it's just really yourself. You know, every day, you see yourself, you see the truth. You look yourself in the mirror and like, is this really what I want? Can I do better? Of course, everyone has a chance to do better. Everyone, when you wake up in the morning, the very next day, that's another chance, you know? So I don't mean to be a social media sad boy there, but like, I'm not just hyping myself up. It's reality. You know, everyone has a choice. So that's how it affected me. Very, very positive, very optimistic at the start. And again, like I was able to mention, by 2021, that's when it started to hit me hard. Like, yo, this is, everything else wasn't really going good for my day job, mentally. I'm honest enough to say, I'm not ashamed enough to say that it really gets to you eventually in your head, you know? So going back to what I was saying, it's a matter of choice. And I guess at that point, at my weakest, at my most vulnerable state, I let it get to me. So it did kind of eat me up, but it's okay. You know, you trip every once in a while in your journey, and it's never too late to pick yourself up, you know? So mentally, I was drained. I was burnt out. Yeah, it's just a mix of everything. But my biggest, if there's one thing to learn from that experience or from what I'm continually experiencing right now, is there's always a choice. To get back up, restart. It's never too late to restart. Like a video game. You feel like you screwed up your abilities, you chose the wrong superpower for your character. Hey, where's the restart? I don't know, delete, start a new game. Or at least change the path. You know, you can have the same goal, but like change your plan. you know. So that's how I see it. And before I forget, man, I don't know this. I'm sure you're gonna get off track, caught off guard with this statement of mine. I would like to thank you personally for introducing me to a media kit. Now, for every single one of the independent professional wrestlers around the globe, not just in the Philippines, a media kit is something you need to research on. And if you get to hear this right now, search about it, learn about it, and get one. Because as a free agent, sort of free agent right now, half and half, I wasn't used to getting having my own media kit ready. So if there's one thing you can learn from this podcast, I'll be happy if that's something you learn for professional wrestlers around the globe or any profession whatsoever. Prepare your media kit, especially if you're doing your media guestings or whatever kind of guestings. Shows how professional you are, and it shows how professional the show is of China Podcast. There you go.
Right. Thanks, kids. Because I also learned along the way how to really do it. You know that 2019, by 2019, so I've been going to a lot of local wrestling shows, I think, all the way from 2017 or somewhere there and until 2019. And I think 2019 was the peak because there were a lot of international, you know, we got TJP show here, we got Tajiri here, and we had a lot of other, you know, a lot of people came here. And then you guys didn't do the WWE tryouts also in 2019. So I was really looking forward to 2020. That means that there will be a bigger things in wrestling for Philippines, right? So how is that, like, you know, going there, doing the tryouts, and then, you know, you're not able to wrestle anymore? So how did you experience that?
Man, that's... honestly, it's a slap of reality. It's if there's one thing I can tell to anyone, regardless of the profession, I'll try to make it more general. I was already putting this in my head. Expect the worst. Always expect the worst. And that came out of nowhere. COVID-19, March 2020. Because you have to realize, like, after the WWE tryout, we still were able to do some shows. So the tryout was July. We still had the August, September, October, November, December, January, February. We still had 7 shows. So we, here in the Philippines, we used to do like once a month shows for PWR. And that came out of the blue. Everyone was all set, ready to go. And again, we weren't prepared for the worst. We were putting all our eggs in one basket. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just that we didn't have anything. I don't know how to compare it. I can compare it with love. I don't know. It's because it's cheesy. I told you, social media sad boy. Yeah, it's a new gimmick. Yeah. Right? I don't know. You can compare it with love. Because, like, when you love someone or something, you can't just bring it your all. I mean, you could. There's nothing wrong with that. But you always have to leave something for you so that you don't get drained. Just like in work. Love, work. When you work, it's good. You go 100%, 100 miles per hour. But you have to realize it's not always about working hard. Sometimes it's about working smart as well. So that's what I noticed with everyone. Because everyone started the COVID-19. Everyone was, not just in wrestling, of course in wrestling, but like every other industry. Everyone was like drained. Everyone had this... Everyone was mentally not prepared for what was to come, which we are currently experiencing right now, which is the global pandemic. So yeah, that's how it hit me. And I can only have so much energy, so much optimism from the get-go. Again, it lasted one whole year. Then I realized a year later, it's still not getting any better. Well, it did, sort of, you know. Life gave us, threw us some bone every now and then, but what are you going to do with the situation now, right? Refocus, like I said, Rollins gimmick. Rebuild, something like that. Rebuild, refocus, reclaim, something like that, right? So, right. You know, So yeah, that's how I am continuously experiencing it.
Right. So Ken, tell me a little bit about your childhood. Like, you know, what did you do in school and how did you get into, like, you know, do you remember when you first experienced wrestling?
Yes. My most vivid memory of professional wrestling. I have a couple, but like the most vivid one would be the tag team match between Shawn Michaels and Triple H versus The Undertaker and Mankind. And there's this exact moment where Shawn Michaels hit The Undertaker with a brown steel chair in the hardest way possible. And I'm like, as sick as it may sound, I don't know. It's crazy to say this, but like I have a cool dad. He let me watch that, of course, with his guidance. And I guess I wasn't guided properly, but you know, just like a lot of 90s kids. But we were watching that moment, and for some reason I became a fan of Shawn Michaels in that moment. And after that steel chair shot, you would see The Undertaker come up the ramp, bloodied, you know, blood dripping from his forehead. And little did I know, many research later, I think exactly 2006, I became almost infatuated with the reunion of D-Generation X. Later did I found out that was the formation, October 1997. That tag team match was the formation of D-Generation X. That's when I really became a fan of the Heartbreaker Shawn Michaels. Just this very confident, cocky, yes, but very confident and skillful individual. Kind of like the version of Dolph Ziggler back in 2000 and... Is it 13, 14? The show off? Like, he can talk the talk, walk the walk, and everything in right. between. So, yeah, man, that's my earliest memory. And my, and in regards to, I guess, merchandise, let's add on to... When me getting my first ever wrestling action figure at Jax, bone crunching action, I think, with the gimmick, Dude Love. So I got that from Green Hill Shopping Center back when I was 3 years old, if I'm not mistaken. Right.
Yeah. So did you ever wrestling in school?
Oh, I wish. Man, I wish. For everyone's information, especially non-Filipinos, here in the Philippines, we do have amateur wrestling, but it's not really offered in schools. Mm. We wish it was. But until now, I haven't encountered any school that offers amateur wrestling as part of a club, as part of something of an extracurricular sport of some sorts. I wish I did, but I didn't have any backgrounds of that. I only experienced or came across amateur wrestling around 2012 or 11 in a gym here in Tomas Morato called Fist Gym. Mm-hmm. He offered amateur wrestling. That was my first exposure of amateur wrestling. And boy, wasn't the easiest thing to do.
So discovering that wrestling, and then... When did that happen that you decided, okay, you want to become a wrestler?
Oh, when I discovered I wanted to be a wrestler, lately I started labeling it as a secret dream, you know, because it's not really realistic. When I was growing up, I remember around grade 3, what was the answer of everyone? What do you want to be when you grow up? Everyone's like, I want to be a doctor. I want to be a businessman. I want to be a restaurant owner. I used to give the same answers too. I used to say I want to be a doctor, but then I realized, like, man, when my first experience of seeing blood in person, I think it's from an accident or something, and I'm like, I don't think I can handle seeing that every day, so, which is odd because I ended up a professional wrestler. But I digress. Yeah. Then I started saying, like, I want to be a businessman. I had that practicality mentality. I wanted to have my own toy store, which I still want to do have. You know. You can have two dreams, right? And I never said I wanted to be a professional wrestler until until fourth year high school, when Rey Mysterio came here 2012 for a meet and greet by Fox. I remember that moment, and I remember like preparing this speech, sort of promo, more of speech. Like, I realized Rey Mysterio isn't really far away from my height. I'm not saying I'm a Rey Mysterio, because I wish I was. I'm not. Right. You know, he may be billed as 5'7". He's actually like 5'5", 5'3", 5'4". Hope I don't offend him. Like, whenever he hears this, I don't know. But we're around the same height. And he just started really early, 14 years old, as we all know. But that gave me extra coal to the fire. That is the secret dream of being a professional wrestler. I realized, like, if he can do it, I'm not as skillful, but, you know, I know if I like something or if I really love something, I'd work my butt off to really achieve it. So from that moment, I delivered a promo. Like, I think I even said something like to the lines of, I don't care if I'm a janitor for WWE. I just want to work for the WWE. And he said something like, man, is someone recording this so we can send it to the office or something? But of course, he said something like, be respectful. Don't step on anyone's toes. Like, when you go up the ranks and you're like, you know, the typical advice. But he was very transparent, you know, especially of our height. Like, it's not going to be easy. Everyone says that, but like, it's a different feeling when you hear it from someone in person, you know? So yeah, that was that moment. I had a secret dream around grade 3, but I realized I really wanted to be a professional wrestler by fourth year high school. That was 2012.
Right, right. I mean, Rey Mysterio is a good example, right? That you doesn't need to be a giant to be like a WWE or the wrestler, right? So you can be a professional wrestler even if you're normal height, right? So I know definitely you follow what's happening with wrestling, right? Now it's like you keep on following that. So what's happening now with, because I kind of see, this is my personal opinion and this is what I feel when I'm looking at, is WWE kind of decaying slowly and then things are moving into like AEW and other promotions? So what's happening?
Honestly, it's a very subjective matter, because when you look at it from a business standpoint, you can like understand from interviews Nick Khan, the new WWE president, has been doing, you can see why he's doing things. I'm not really in the position to speak on behalf of WWE. I wish I worked there, but I'm currently not working for them.
Right.
However, from a business standpoint, I do understand it makes people talking of what's happening, but I also do understand the part of being a wrestling fan still myself, besides being a professional wrestler myself, the impact, no pun intended, AEW has been making. Because honestly, I watch a lot of their product nowadays, like AEW. But the new revamp of NXT, surprisingly enough, was actually pretty good. And like, people are knocking the new logo. When I saw it, I was a bit surprised, because of all the brands to be revamped, the last brand I expected to be changed was NXT. And when they revamped it, not the most popular decision, but you know how the saying goes, it sounds crazy, but it just might work.
Right.
Although people are knocking it, like the logo looking like a skateboard company's logo. What's wrong with looking like a skateboard company's logo? If it gets kids, people talking about it, if he's someone like, and I forgot his new name now, Rick Steiner's kid. Oh, Rick Steiner, I think. Braun Breakser, something like that. When you see his match, it reminds you of, he's like a combination of Scott Steiner and his dad, Rick Steiner, right? That's his dad's name.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Yeah, so from the Steiner brothers, he's like a combination of the Steiner brothers. Promo-wise, he speaks like Scott Steiner. Physique-wise as well. But the gimmick, the getup, it looks like Rick Steiner. Someone like him, when you look at his performance, someone who has been trained, oh, I don't know how long he has been training under the WWE Performance Center. From what I know, he's just less than 6 months. But it also helps having Scott Steiner as your uncle and having Rick Steiner as your dad. But I see how that fresh content is helping WWE and also backfiring to what's happening. That's why they did, at least in my opinion, that's what they had Big E cash and the Money in the Bank to be WWE champion all of a sudden. Because from what we know, from what the wrestling people on the internet knows, AEW has been killing it on the ratings and on every show since the signing of CM Punk.
Right.
So it's a really exciting fan, as cliche as it may sound recently. It's a really exciting time to be a wrestling fan and a professional wrestler.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I saw the CM Punk coming back, and I mean, there were two moments that recently that I really enjoy. The first one is CM Punk's return, and you saw the ice creams, right? So I was so excited about the bloody ice creams. I wanted to like comment. I wanted to put that out, like, you know, they're having a CM Punk ice cream, and then we are just like stuck here, right, without nothing. So like, it's fine. And then the other interesting thing that I enjoy seeing Becky Lynch returning after the pregnancy, right? So she looked amazing.
Absolutely. And can I just comment on the ice cream? Dude, you're not the only one. I've been searching on eBay for the last couple of days for that OG CM Punk ice cream bar shirt. I wish he has the ice cream bar shirt from AEW, but he had that WWE version. And just recently, I got lucky. It's a double XL, but I'm going to have it altered. I finally found one, an OG one, not a replica version. It's an OG one. It's pre-owned. It's vintage. I'm having it altered. And like, you know, I'm all for the CM Punk bandwagon ice cream bar gimmick. Hey, it's really fun to see him. The goosebumps. Did you feel the goosebumps from his debut? Whenever I watch it, I just want to cry every time I watch it. And that's shoot. That's legit, bro. Also, speaking of goosebumps, whenever I rewatch the debut of Adam Cole, it's just a different. Oh, like, is this the 90s all over again? But this time, it's my second time to experience it as an adult, as a young adult. It's crazy. It's like, it's really exciting, man. Like the goosebumps. It's really, yo, you know.
Yeah, I actually found the CM Punk vintage shirt recently. The one with the rib cage. The one says straight edge.
Yeah, I
found it on Facebook. One of my friends was selling it, so I got it. I got that one.
Good investment. Imagine if you got the OG one when he became WWE champion and Money in the Bank. Imagine how much that goes for nowadays. You can search. Lately, my love has been rekindled for vintage wrestling shirts. I've been buying a lot. I got the Eminem recently. I got the John Morrison. The Revolution will be televised before Ricky Starks start using it for a theme song. Like, it's crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy time.
Yeah, I do have a 2011. I think the Money in the Bank 2011, right? I have the DVD.
Yeah.
I still have the DVD of that show, which is one of my, like, you know, very important wrestling DVDs, right?
That was a turning point, bro. That was a turning point in WWE's history for sure.
Yeah. So you mentioned about music, because in this podcast, normally I talk to a lot of musicians, right? And fans and stuff. So tell me a little bit about what you listen, what's your like music taste like?
Of course. Just like my getup, it's weird. It's a mix of everything. My favorite band is this band called the 1975 from the UK.
Right.
And it started from one song that I couldn't even understand. Search it up. It's called Chocolate. You can't really understand the lyrics. It's been a meme all these years. But it's from that song, that happy-go-lucky song. But when you really dissect the lyrics, it's dark. It's dark. It has a different meaning to it. I'm not saying I'm into that stuff. But like, it's just fascinating to me. It's a very upbeat. But when you listen, when you really understand what it means, it's telling a story, and it's like an indie movie. It's not really the nicest story to hear, but it's reality. So I like the 1975, and my favorite song of theirs have been constantly changing. And any band that is making wrestling music, I'm automatically a fan. That's like, you know, that's something I'm easily in love with any band that gives appreciation to professional wrestling. For example, not even a band, I think it's a band, but or an artist like Limp Bizkit. I remember how much of a wrestling fan I am. There was the Survivor Series 2003. I can't believe I forgot the name of the song, but Limp Bizkit did a song for this pay-per-view, Survivor Series 2003. And I had to buy that album because it was constantly commercial on WWE TV. And you have to keep in mind, back in 2003, here in the Philippines, we are delayed 2 weeks for Monday Night Raw and WWE SmackDown. So every time they commercial that, I was looking, so is the album released yet? And it's the album with the green cover.
That is Result May Vary. That's the album, right? The green one.
I think that's it. Do you remember? It's not Under the Bridge. So Red Hot Chili Peppers is Under the Bridge. Something with the Bridge. That's the title of the song. Only if you take a ride, go with me to the other side. Something like that. I think it's The Other Side. I think that's the title. Something like that. And so I like that. I like bands like that. Even the recent song for Ruby Soho, which is titled Ruby Soho from Rancid, I think. I've been hearing Rancid, not really a fan before, but like that, I love that song. For some reason, I really love that song. And anything acoustic. I have those kind of moods too. And I am that type of person sometimes. As petty as it may sound, like a song of Tayo Cruz, Break My Heart. The song meaning, it's not really the best meaning, but I like the beat. So songs like that. It's a mix of everything, brother. But more of R&B, rock, sometimes metal, and just pop. Yeah, I guess for just a mix of genres. A lot. It's just a mix of everything.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I always say like there's so many different genres. The reason that's there because you can enjoy each one of them, right? You can go and choose and try. So you don't need to like, I know sometimes people try to just stick to one artist or one genre. I think they're missing out a lot.
Yeah, like they're pressured because like, oh, you can't like OPM and like acoustic. And dude, I don't like OPM, acoustic, rock, metal, and sometimes hard rock. Like, you know, like I don't know, dude. It's a mix of everything. Sometimes mellow. I'm in a mood for mellow. And I'm like, have you tried working out with a mellow song? Dude, does wonders. Double the challenge.
Right. You know, this the Spotify gives you like every year, end of the year, they'll give you like what you listen, right? You know what, yeah. what was my top song? It was Pantera Walk. Because I always walk outside, so I always listen to that song. And I think I listened to it like 2,500 times, I think.
Wow. And you're like, you listen to the song because you like it, or you listen to the song because of genre of songs for walking? Because Spotify offers something like that, right?
I normally listen to those thrash metal sort of playlists, and these songs probably appears like multiple times. Yeah. And I really love that song, just pumps it, you know. If I want to do like long walk or something, I just keep on listening. Sometimes I'll just loop the same song. So I think I listened to it like 2,500 times last year.
Dang, bro. But if it gets you going, man, hey, no one's judging, you know? Pantera is not a bad choice too. I think I know of their sound. I just don't know the name of the songs. I have to be honest, you know, just like a Motley Crue. I don't know a lot of songs of theirs. But I know of their sound, or less like a Motorhead, very distinct sound. So yeah.
So you this meeting, like, you know, Rey Mysterio, and then that's around 2012. You said, right? That's 2012. So when did you first try out for wrestling?
Try out for wrestling, amateur wrestling or professional wrestling?
Professional wrestling.
For professional wrestling, I tried out around latter of 2013, December 2013. It started from a Facebook group. And a little backstory of this Facebook group, this guy doesn't get enough credit. Frankie 13, formerly of MWF, or I think he's still with MWF. I don't know what happened. I think he's there. Frankie 13, Filipino professional wrestler, is a schoolmate of mine. back in high school, he's I think 2 years ahead of him or something, or 3 years ahead of him. And he was always encouraging me to, hey, Kieran, check this out, check this Facebook group. And me, knowing the WWE fanboy that I am back then, I was really ignorant. Like, no, what's this? Are they just mocking WWE? Oh, Pinoy wrestlers again. We want to be WWE wrestlers. I was mocking it. And funny enough, everything I mock, I end up fighting for. It's really crazy. It's like a really bad karma, but in a good way, or it's a matter of perspective. I don't know. Because I made fun of it. Like, what's this? And not considering the fact that a lot of wrestlers from the WWE came from the independent professional wrestling scene. So I could say that was also the same time I started appreciating the independent professional wrestling scene. So around 2013, we were just doing, you know, promos to one another. And I remember vividly my first promo. It's about trash talking. So I'm not going to say it here. I still remember the words that I said, but, like, you know, I'm reserving it for a future, future opportunity. I know. I feel like it's pretty good. I know. It's my first promo that I did regarding local professional wrestling scene here in the Philippines. So fast forward to 2014, January, Bombay Suarez invited, just for the heck of it. He was brave enough. He was passionate enough to just encourage, you know what, guys, why don't we train? And we started training at AFP and BGC. So I think he had like a connection. He has like an uncle that's from the military. And we were fortunate enough to train there. Fortunate and unfortunate. Depends how you look at it. Because if you're part of the batch one who trained, we trained in a boxing ring, which has no give. Stiffest board canvas that you can ever experience. But part of me is pissed that I went through it. And at the same time, glad that I went through it, because a lot of the wrestlers I look up to, the Shawn Michaels, the Daniel Bryan, the Bryan Danielson, Eddie Guerrero, those are not my favorite wrestlers. Shawn Michaels is. Daniel Bryan, Eddie Guerrero, they're okay. Not really my cup of tea, but, you know, they went through the boxing ring experience, even Edge, I think, from what I remember correctly. They experienced the boxing ring. It really toughens you up, canvas. And funny enough, when I started, I was holding back. So if, I don't know, if there's another learning people can learn from this guesting of mine, is give chance to experience things and never hold back. Because I wanted to be just, and I say this with respect to being a referee. I just wanted to be a referee. But not a lot of people know if you train to be a referee. Basically, you're training like how the professional wrestlers are training. So when I experienced my first bump on that stiff as, you know, canvas, I thought to myself, so I'm bumping anyway. Might as well start being a wrestler. You know, I just wanted to be a referee. Because I was keeping safe. I was reserving myself. No, maybe I'm not big enough. Maybe I'm, you know, 5'5", you know, 5'7" with the boots. And, you know, maybe I'm not big enough. I'm not skillful enough. But the more I bump, the more I do. I'm really already putting my body through this. And funny enough, I can take it. I'm resilient like that, believe it or not. Like, I guess that's where my fandom of Mick Foley comes from. He's like what Triple H mentions. Mick Foley is like this poop you try to flush that... When you try to flush, it just gets back up. that's how I would... I'm not comparing myself to Mick Foley because he's beyond great, you know. But that's how I could describe my resiliency. So, yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I discovered you when I went to PWR, as part of PWR, and PWR shows that you guys did every month. I was a wrestling fan back in the day, and then along the way, somehow I wasn't following it anymore, because I know that WWE, certain that magic suddenly went away, right? And then I was not really attracted to it that much. But then once I had my son, and then my son became a fan of wrestling, and then he was watching WWE, and then this really got me interested again because of him. And then that's why we started going to PWR, and that was like our, you know, father-son thing that we do every month. And it was really a really bonding experience because I could relate to him and he could relate to me because we were talking the same language. And then we became a lot of friends with you guys, you know, I really admired PWR because, you know, I think after like my first, second, third show, I knew like everybody, like we knew everybody, right? We always meet after the event. Yeah. And it was really a great thing. And we were really looking forward to that happening. And I know it's not happening. What do you think your most, what moment in PWR do you, what you consider as your greatest moment in PWR?
Greatest moment?
For
good
you.
Question. Good question. A lot, dude. Before I answer that, I just want to, before I forget as well, because I remember one of those days, he actually tagged me recently on a photo. Before he actually tagged me on that photo, I remember that moment. I think it was even in the middle of the show. Well, that's when we started doing like selling some merchandise in between shows, then after the shows or before the shows. But I remember that day, well, not that day, but that moment. Because you were with your son, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, please, you invited me to a Saturday morning radio show.
Right.
That was you, right, sir? So, like, yeah, I remember that day. Even before you tagged me, I was about to mention, like, when you message on Instagram, and I'm like, I know this dude. He looks really familiar. And, like, even before you tagged me, legit, yes. Even before you tagged me. So, I'm like, I mentioned that because I'm just grateful that, after all these years, we finally make it happen, and you're still interested to have me on your show. And I'm grateful, dude. Thank you. Thank you so much. And to answer your question, I actually have... It's a tie between my first match with PWR, official match, and that was September 2014, PWR Renaissance. And... I can't believe I forgot the date. I think it's March 2018, Path of Gold, for very selfish reasons. It's not because I won in both occasions. The first one, first match, you know, it's a culmination of the hard work, the anxiety, the being in the moment, the excitement, the fear, and when you actually do it, it's magic. I've always said that, even in my first podcast guesting, I said it's magic. That's I could call that my closest thing of experiencing magic. Being able to perform in front of a crowd, regardless of how many the people are. Just being a pro wrestler, experiencing getting paid, not just even getting paid, because I'm barely concerned about the money. You know, I wish I could be paid more, but like I'm not really concerned that much. That's like the third thing I'm concerned of. I'm just concerned of, can I wrestle? Can I actually deliver? Like, this was like, that's one of the top two. That one, I was the first and the second close. It's a tie. It's really a tie. Path of Gold 2018, not because I won. Not because it was my birthday when I won, but it's the first time for me to experience what it's like, even for a moment, to be a main event pro wrestler. Like the crowd. I don't know if you were there, sir. You and your son were there, but it's really, it's eye-opening. It gives me goosebumps, yeah, even just remembering days leading into that match. You know, a funny story I've never shared this to anyone. I was, you know, this is the show, The Greatest Showman.
Yeah.
So there's this song Never Enough. I was listening to that song because March 2018 was my third match back, coming from the head injury from APCC 2017. So I was really messed up in the head, dude. I wasn't really confident in my abilities, but experiencing that crowd, the crowd reaction, the way we were able to tell a story that night. It's just, you know, that was a moment in my career. That was a good, in a video game perspective, that was a checkpoint for sure. That was a checkpoint. Because it, you know, it checked me personally and it checked my standing in the local pro wrestling scene.
Yeah, because I was actually looking for that. And I saw a video yesterday, and I was actually in that video on that 2018 show. Because
really?
Yeah, we normally sit near the entrance, right? We always sit near the entrance. And then it's Jake Dillian was the one, right? The last one, I think, right? That was the...
Yes.
There's a short clip that I found. So
I think the whole match is still uploaded, but like, yeah.
Yeah. So your relationship with Jake Dillian and all these PWOGs and all this, how is that dynamic with Jake Dillian? And when did you like first meet him?
So I first met him in the same training, backtrack a bit, 2014 January in AFP, when Bombay invited everyone, when Frankie 13 invited me to join the group. So that's when I first encountered Jake Dillian. At first, in my point of view, we were okay, but we didn't really get along. Because, you know, the competition, you know, there's just competition with, and you know, competition is always good, you know. But like, honestly, I felt like we really didn't get along. that's how I felt, you know. And then I saw his passion. I appreciated his work because he's been as hardworking then to this very day. That's one thing I can't take away from JDL. He's been the same dude work-wise, work ethic-wise. So you can't help but really respect that guy, you know, or respect someone like that. So that's when I met him. And he was actually my first match, unofficial match. So we had a show in front of 14 people. And only our friends and families were invited. It wasn't on a big venue. It was just at our training facility at the time, back in the south, in Bikutan. And he was my first match. And even then, we had this hard-to-explain chemistry as opponents. But if you're talking about the start of PWOGs, it started in the WWE tryout, honestly. That's where it all came from. Because there was a moment when we were just put together. And he was gunning for it the whole time. When you watch stuff from 2019, I don't know if it's still uploaded, but like some of the promos that he was doing or some of the material he was putting out, he's like, I need a tag team. Let's be a tag team. I'm like, bro, why do you want to be a tag team? I'm not a tag team wrestler. I was really like that. That's how I felt kayfabe-wise, and that's how I felt in real life, which is, you know, a mix of both. I'm okay with it, but like, bro, we're not tag team wrestlers. Why do you want to be a tag team? Then fast forward to the WWE tryout. Even WWE saw that we were fit, apparently, as a tag team. And yeah, man, I remember asking Serena Deeb, who's in AEW right now, because she was one of the coaches back in WWE back then. And I was asking, like, no, for real, why were we a tag team? Because, you know, you work together. And like, oh, really? Why were we formed tag team? Is it because we're the same height? And she was like, yeah. Like, you know, it's petty, but like, it's true. And so what if we're the same height? If it makes it work better, if it makes a more cohesive unit, a more entertaining product moving forward, then so be it, right? I'm up for it. Plus, I was stagnant anyway in my run as a babyface and as a good guy for the non-wrestling fans at the time. So I needed some change. And I'm grateful for that change, because to this very day, if I wasn't formed with Jake Dillian as the hashtag PWOGs and the Philippine Wrestling OGs, I wouldn't know how I would continue this social media sinister gimmick of sorts, because everyone, to be honest, is basically doing the social media sinister quote unquote gimmick. Everyone's just really, I hate using this word, but like everyone's just toxic online. Not every, you know, not everyone, but like that's the most popular thing to do. It's harder to be kind nowadays. It's a choice, right? So that's, yeah, that's just my take on that.
Right. But Ken, my favorite moment in PWR relates to you is when you and Chris Spencer came as Jim Selfie Daddy.
Yes, sir. I love that one. That was really, yeah. When you mentioned Jim Selfie Daddy's, dude, that was fun as heck. That was just both having fun. That was, I don't want to take too much credit for it, but that's, if you want to, because of course it's a cohesive plan, you know, there's both perspective, there's both plans from Panzer and myself. But if you want to take a look what's inside my mind on a daily, that's Jim Selfie Daddy's in a nutshell. That's so crazy. You, in my head, dude.
It was like, you know, it was so much fun to see like you guys are coming in. It reminded me like Bushwhackers, like, you know, the Bushwhackers, right? But then it was also devastating when Panzer actually, you know, betrayed you on the same bloody match, right? So it's like,
yes,
we really hated Panzer for that.
Well, I experienced the hard end of that boot, if you will. But I'm glad that's how you reacted to it. I feel like that's a job well done. that was the goal anyway.
Right. Ken, tell me a little bit about this. Whatever you can share, you're allowed to share. Tell me a little bit about the WWE tryouts. What happens there?
Okay. Yeah, for sure. Because it's on the internet anyway. Like, it's not our tryout, but like the other tryouts. Like, so basically, in a nutshell, it's a lot of the first day, which doesn't really count as the first day, I think. You get all this medical tests. You know, have to get, you know, they have to make sure you're fit enough to do all these extraneous workouts and everything that WWE is going to let you do. So, for lack of a better term, WWE tryout, it's really your closest thing to a boot camp. So, let me describe my experience. It's my closest thing of being inside a boot camp and at the same time being a super soldier. So, you can only imagine the strenuous activities we were assigned to do. So a lot of the basics, they really want to check your basics, a lot of the roles, a lot of, I think this is where the mentality of old school comes from. I forgot that term, is it witting out? You know, just separating the ones who really love it and separating the ones who just want to do it for the money. That's, I forgot the term. It's not witting out. Something like that. Something in the lines of that. Because you're going to do push-ups on command. You are going to do squats on command. You are going to do sit-ups on command. You're going to do a lot of different things on command. And with everything I mentioned, my favorite thing from the tryout was squats and promo class. Other than that, we were living in hell. That's all. That's how I can describe it. Right. And there are crazy moments there too. Again, life throws you a bone every now and then. There are days when it's really hard, like the third day when you've done the same thing for like the 1,000th time. By then, you would do a push-up and you see the WWE logo just in front of you. And like mentally, I'm like, it's that close, Ken. Are you going to give up now? And you prepare for it. You want to be a professional wrestler for the biggest wrestling company in the world, right? Man, come on. Push a little harder. And I think that was also my closest thing of being a bionic person. Again, closest thing of being a super soldier. And I didn't even experience the pain anymore because we were just used to it. Your body adapts to the change, adapts to the pain. It's a matter of how you would maneuver your actions after experiencing the pain. Do you have that second gear? Can you do that second gear, third gear, fourth gear, you know? I don't drive, so I don't know the terms. Don't drive yet. It's a pandemic, right. But, you know.
So I think from the same tryout, I think Trexus got selected from the same tryout. So.
Yes, sir. Trexus and Ikemen Jiro.
Right. Trexus, I think the name is what? Dante something, right?
Dante Chen. Dante Chan or Chen. Dante Chen or Chen, yeah. Hey, it's a good name, Dante, from what I know, for all those gamers, the Devil May Cry dude, right? So, not right, bad.
Right. Yeah, so, Ken, everybody calls you, like, you know, this social media thing, that, and, you know, all this. So, tell me a little bit about what you do. Like, you do YouTube stuff and things like that, right? Tell me what you do in your social...
Yeah, okay, thank you. Yeah, thank you for mentioning this. Yeah, I do some... Every now and then, it's not as consistent, but I just want to put out the best product that I can produce, you know? So I really take the time to edit, and I really time my mind and my body, because if you're not well rested, you really can't produce no matter how long you record, you know? I know, as a broadcaster yourself, as a vlogger yourself, you know how it feels, like just the mental block, or like the artist's mental block or something like that. So you have to wait for the right moment to get that creative juice flowing. So I really take my time. So that, again, it's not as consistent because I used to do vlogs as well. But when I put out material, I want to make sure I'm at the best mindset while I was editing it, so I can just produce not just the best product, but just like at least something that is watchable, that is also authentic to me, the way I want to present it. So right now I'm doing stuff. We just wrapped up season one of PWOG's report, I think 4 months ago. So we have a different Facebook page, YouTube page for that, and Facebook page and Twitter handle for that. But we are focused now individually, myself and Jake DeLeon. Jake DeLeon is doing his Twitch. He's there every day, almost every day. While myself, I focus on my YouTube channel, specifically the Ken Warren's Unsolicited Random Review, or KWURR. So I just review. It's something that I want to showcase to everyone. Just like if you were aware of the Major Wrestling Figure podcast, something like that. I just want to share my collection, my random memorabilia, my obscure collection of wrestling memorabilia. So I can show... Well, you know, this would be a spoiler. I don't want to show. Might show something that's not supposed to be seen yet. But, you know, so what can I show? For my background, I guess for my background, you see like Funko Pops right over there, something like, I don't know if it zooms. Yeah, that's about it. I really can't say enough. I'll say much about it, but just random wrestling stuff, whether it's a wrestling t-shirt, WWE memorabilia, like a Bret Hart sunglasses in my episode one. Episode two, the Masters of the Universe WWE crossover. And episode three was the Sheamus Celtic Warrior Let's Go Do a Bit tank top, which is very exclusive. It can only be bought on a website. And for my non-canon AEW Action Ring UK exclusive review. So, you know, some just random stuff that, of course, I time it within the time, like, does that make sense? I time the release of per episode. If it's something that is featured lately on wrestling television, whether AEW, WWE, Impact, NWA, Bloodsport, I don't know, GCW, I put it out at the exact same time. I try to make that connection every now and then. But if it's not, it was just really obscure, just like the Bret Hart sunglasses. I believe to this very day, I'm the one out of the two, or the only one, who featured a Bret Hart sunglasses on YouTube. That's why I feel like that's my most successful Ken Warren Unsolicited Random Review episode. And that's episode one. Right. So, yeah, something like that. So from there, even though it's a mouthful, you get an idea of what I try to put out. Just share my love for wrestling memorabilia, my obsession, that's the word, for professional wrestling in general.
Right. So you also have your own merch on Pro Wrestling Tees website, right?
Yes, sir, that's correct. Thank you. Thank you for showcasing this. Yes, that's prowrestlingtees.com/TheKenWarren. My available shirts there are my first ever t-shirt. That's the Eat, Sleep, Post, Retweet. Hashtag that on the back. The other shirt is the Ken Warren illustrated version. It just has my handles on the back. Ken Warren on Facebook, at The Ken Warren on Twitter, at The Ken Warren on Instagram, Ken Warren on YouTube. It's just all there. That's what it stated on the Ken Warren illustrated t-shirt. And the other one is the Hasbro inspired the wrestling shirt, a ringer, white wrestling shirt with the black ringer. It's like the CM Punk shirts nowadays. It's the end thing to do, just like the Ronda Rousey shirt, just like the Hot Rod shirt, but mine is black, just like similar to CM Punk. As the Hasbro version of me, I wish I was that buff, but I'm working on it. It was made by TTD Wrestling, which is someone who is helping the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast with their own merch to this very day. And it has a Ken Warren logo at the back. So yeah, it's about it. I try to put as much... Well, I can't really upload much yet because there's nothing going on. But I try to promote it as much. That's why I appreciate you, Chana, for reminding me of that feature.
Right, right. I really love Cameo, the website Cameo. And then there is a local version, which is Shoutout, which you own. But I discovered you because in Shoutout, you can see all the hot actresses, the local actresses are there, right? So I was just browsing through and then I came across you and JDL on Shoutout.
And that's how we do it. We try to be as involved with everything online, man. Thank you for checking it out. Thank you for checking out Shoutout, man. And the spelling of Shoutout, for those wondering, in the audio version of this one, at Apple, at Spotify, whichever you're listening, wherever you listen to your podcast. So shout out, the spelling of that is very Filipino. It's not S-H-O-U-T. S-H-O-U-T, shout, O-U-T, it's not that. It's S-H-A-W-T-O-U-T.com. That's shoutout.com. That's how you pronounce it in Filipino. Shout out, very Filipino. And when you search shout out, you can search on the search bar there, Ken Warren. Or if you're the type to really get into sales when it's 999 or 1010 or 1111 or 1212. I don't know what's the gimmick with the Lazada. When you check out Lazada, you can search shout out. Again, that's S-H-A-W-T-O-U-T. And when you see shout out, click on that on the search bar, search Ken Warren. And I found out about this from my little brother. If you use Safari or like Google and you search Lazada from the website, not the app, can simply search Ken Warren and my image pops up easily. If you're using the app, you have to search shout out first. Then within the group of shout out, search for Ken Warren. But there, if you have some crazy enough request, I can accommodate it as long as it's within the guidelines of shout out. S-H-A-W-T-O-U-T. There you go.
Right. Ken, did you watch this movie?
Resurrection of Jake the Snake. Yes, sir. How'd you get that shirt? I didn't notice that was a wrestling shirt, man. What?
Yeah, this is like my most favorite wrestling shirt because I love the movie and I love Jake's. I really love the movie. Now, I think now they have it on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
The movie is available in the Philippines. So it's really, one thing that we see wrestling as, you know, it's all about fun, enjoyment, entertainment, but there is a big dark side of wrestling as well, right? Where what goes behind how these people deal with their all these problems. They are also human beings, right? So they also have a lot of problems like addiction and all this stuff, like mental issues and stuff like that. And also like physical injuries, right? Physical injuries, what happens is like they'll start having some physical pain, which then it will lead to some prescription medicine and then it will become an addiction. And like, it's all like connected, right? So it's really a big struggle for them, right? It's not just all happy, right?
Absolutely. And that's the reality of not just in pro wrestling, but of life in general. And speaking of the resurrection of Jake the Snake, did you see the A&E feature, A&E biography, I think, of Jake the Snake? If you like the resurrection of Jake the Snake, you should really see the A&E biography featurette, because that was like the continuation, and they really went deep of why Jake the Snake is Jake the Snake. It's really messed up, man. Before Dark Side of the Ring, we had the resurrection of Jake the Snake, the shirt you're wearing, then mix that with A&E and mix that with some parts of the Dark Side of the Ring. I think his dad was featured the last season. Bro, it's just, the things, those are the things you wish you can just leave in the imagination. But sad enough, it happened in real life, and it happened to one Jake the Snake.
Right.
Messed up, dude.
Did you see the video that I put out on the IG stories, the music I used for your episode, right?
Yeah. What about it?
Because, I chose that. I didn't know that you were Shawn Michaels fan. I just felt it, that that's the song that I should put for you. And then few days ago, I just searched some articles about you. And then in one of the articles, they said the Heartbreak Kid, like the Filipino Heartbreak Kid, they compared you to Shawn Michaels, which is true, because I see that qualities from you. And I just chose that song because I felt looking at you, and that's the song that needs to be there in the video.
First and foremost, I thank you for choosing that song. But I don't think I'm even qualified to lay Shawn Michaels' boots, because that man is my hero, regardless of the horror stories I've been hearing when you get to meet him. But to his defense, imagine you're someone in the level of Shawn Michaels. I understand the people complaining, like, if you meet him, they spend like 5,000 pesos, $100 to meet him, and he doesn't really know what to say to you. Because imagine if you're in the level of Shawn Michaels, you get praise every day. I can only imagine that every day people will come up to you and say, dude, you changed my life. You're my hero. Growing up without you, you helped me go through this. Imagine hearing that every second, every day. How do you respond? But He, from an outside's perspective, because I haven't met him yet, that's one of my checklists in life. Not in wrestling, but in life. Right. Take note. Meet my hero. Even though from the stories I've been hearing from close friends of mine, they've been saying never meet your heroes. He's a perfect example of that. I'm a type of person to wait and see. Let me experience it. I try to be empathic with people. I try to put myself in other people's shoes. How would you react every day, every hour, every minute? People, when they see you, can I take a photo? Let's get an autograph. Sir, you inspire me to live my life to the fullest every day. Sir, you are my hero. Sir, like, imagine hearing that every day, man. Yeah, dude, I don't know how to react as well. Thank you. Okay. Maybe it gets tiring as well. I don't know. I'm sure you will be flattered from the get-go, but every day. I'm not playing devil's advocate, sort of, but I'm a fanboy through and through because he's my childhood hero. But right. Thank you. The comparison, I am very flattered. I still feel like I don't deserve that. And as much as I want to be the next Shawn Michaels here in the Philippines, I am pushing myself to be the only Ken Warren in the Philippines and in the pro wrestling industry. But I thank you so much. But the bigger question there is not the theme song you use, but the font and the color that you use. Use the color pink. It's like bubble gum pink. Now, may I ask, what's the story behind the bubble gum pink?
I don't know. I think I get kind of inspired by like a Japanese poster, something like that, like Japanese anime, the letters.
Funny story, you mentioned anime. Not anime directly, but you actually pictured my personality in real life really good in that font because I'm animated as crazy when you really get to meet me. And I'm sure from this interview, I've been really a mouthful, to say the least.
So, Ken, I want to show you something. Do you have this one?
Yes, sir. Hey, can you wait real quick? Because I actually have. I'll give it to someone of one of my friends in Christmas. Wait, how about this one? So, thank you for waiting. Like, so, funny enough, you showed this to me. This is my favorite Shawn Michaels book. Like, for the ones listening on audio, we're showing Wrestling for My Life, the legend, the reality, and the fate of a WWE superstar, the latest book of the heartbreak kid, Shawn Michaels. And as of the speaking, I have two of these. But this one I'm going to give to my friend by December. But if I may ask, why did you show the book to me?
No, because this is one of my favorite wrestling books also. So I read it a few years ago, actually. So I think I need to read this again. And just got me like, you know, I thought that I should show this to you along with the Shawn Michaels, you know.
Funko. Heck yeah, dude. Heck yeah. Because I have a messy bed.
Yeah. So we actually collect the Funko Pops, the WWE. So we have a shared space with my son. So we collect the WWE stuff, all the Funko Pops. So that's sort of one thing that we do together. So Ken, what's happening? What's upcoming for you? What are you looking forward to?
What's upcoming for me is happening really, really soon. I am contracted, sort of, with Set Up Thailand. That's a Thailand-based professional wrestling promotion. And you can expect the unexpected, wink, wink, with my involvement with Set Up Thailand really, really, really soon. I know we've been announced, me, myself, and my hashtag PWOG Stag Amigo Jake De Leon have been announced as a group to be part of their company, but we have really yet to contribute to their exciting, exciting content. I lost my train of thought. I don't know if that's even the word. Just wait and see when we start contributing to the content. That's really the worst way to say it. But, you know, that's what's going to happen. Just wait and see. That's what's upcoming for me. My involvement with Set Up Thailand. And what was the other question, sir?
I mean, what are you looking forward to?
Oh, man, I'm just looking forward for this global pandemic to end, man. I encourage every single one tuning in, you yourself, sir, your son, just hang in there, guys. This world is crazy, but you have to be crazy to make it sometimes. So you have to be crazier than the situation, fellas. Hang in there. I just want everyone to be at peace and just really take this time, this global pandemic, to refocus, recharge, and, you know, the saying, two steps back sometimes it gets you to move forward. So just really take the time, make the most of the downtime that we have, because it may not be the time off that we needed or this downtime that we needed, but as the days goes by, I honestly think like this is the downtime that we all needed around the globe. The world is healing and the world is changing. And the pandemic was really a checkpoint of sorts to really turn that page. And what are you going to do if the world changes? Will you remain the same or will you move forward and change? It's up to you guys.
So, Ken, anybody you want to shout out to?
Yes, please. I just want to shout out my PWOG's tag amigo, Jake De Leon. He is doing his streams every now and then. You can check out his page at Senorito JDL on Twitter. He's very active on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. He has his schedule there. If you like video games, if you like Twitch, if you just like hanging out or watching someone enjoy a video game or die trying to enjoy a video game, check out his streams on Twitch. And for my personal trainer at PJ Tugade, I will never get tired of being grateful for that dude, because that dude helped me change my body. And I say this enough, and I laugh when I say this, but it's just really funny to me when I say it, that he actually cares. Because I've experienced some trainers, they just really, they will train you because you pay. This person is a different dude. At least in my experience, he just really wants to help me change. He took a chance on me, and I'm not taking that for granted, for a lack of a better term. I may have fallen the wagon every now and then with my consistency, but I'm really grateful that he guided me throughout the pandemic and moving forward. Because again, I'm still on a bulking phase. I refocus from my cruiserweight body. I'm trying to get some bulk, and I can't wait for the guidance that I will be receiving soon enough. And of course, if he can customize or help me customize my body, he also, if you yourself, for example, China podcast, you want your own Funko Pop, or you want your son to have his own Funko Pop, or you want someone you idolize, maybe a bad member of Pantera, but I think Pantera has their own Funko Pop. But if you want to customize an action figure or have a custom action figure of yourself or your heroes, he also has an Instagram page, Scribble24 Customs. Check him out on Instagram. That's his side hustle besides being a personal trainer at PJ Tugade. So just check him out and tell him I sent you. So, you know, let's help each other out. He taught me not just the concept of earning it, but also the concept of paying it forward. And speaking of paying it forward, man, one of my good friends too, at Migs Media One. Man, that dude, that thousand dude from Chalkline, these people I'm mentioning are my friends, man. And I would even go as far as say as friends for life. So they've known me in different stages of my life. And whenever I get the opportunity to share the spotlight with them, or even just mention how good of a person they are individually, respectively, I make the choice to do so.
Right. So Ken, thanks for doing this. I really enjoy talking to you, and I mean, all the best. And I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing you wrestle again. I hope things will get better. And so, lastly, tell everyone how they can get connected with you on social media.
All right. Well, thank you first and foremost, Chana, for having me, for finally making this happen. It's not on a radio show, but it's on a podcast. I feel like that's even better. You know?
Right.
It's like, this is recorded for everyone's viewing. You know how generous you are in the China podcast? You are releasing an audio version of this and a video version of this. At least that's what I saw on YouTube and on Spotify. So, you know, I'm really humbled that you still have me in this show a year or 2 years later,
right,
from when you plan to have me on. And I'm really grateful for that. And for the people listening or watching, you can find me, yours truly, Ken Warren, the social media sinister, the grumpy human trending topic, #, candid attention, bandit, ellipsis, on Twitter at the Ken Warren, on Instagram at the Ken Warren, on Facebook, Ken Warren. And if he wants a personal shout out again, hey, shawtout.com/Ken Warren. I'm there. Lazada, search shout out, shawtout. And when you search shout out, click that group, search Ken Warren. I'm there. You need the greeting You need a scary greeting for Halloween? I'm there. You need a Christmas greeting for Christmas? Obviously, I'm there. You want a Valentine's greeting for next year? Heck, I'm not sure if I'm the right choice, but I can make something work. You know, I'm there too. And on the YouTube, Ken Warren's Unsolicited Random Review. Search Ken Warren on YouTube. I'm also there. If you want some wrestling memorabilia, if you've always been curious what my thoughts are, my unsolicited thoughts are at certain wrestling memorabilia, it's there on YouTube, Ken Warren. Search there, KWURR. And if you want my past adventures, my consistently inconsistent adventures of my not-so-daily vlogs and the hashtag that vlog, search hashtag that vlog. And when you see that hashtag that vlog results, click that link. It says 100 videos down. Click it. It's all of my videos. If you want to search it real easily, search Ken Warren, hashtag that vlog. That's me. You know, I have a different hairstyle back then. I might return to that hairstyle. You know, I'm taking the time to change. I'm choosing to progress, maybe take a step back to move forward, or I might go with the, you know, mullet moving forward. I don't know, man. I'm experimenting. I might cut this hair. Dude, you have to be crazy to be a professional wrestler, and you have to be crazier in what? In life to make it, and just to be yourself and just be crazier with the situation. Be crazier than the situation. That's what I'm trying to say. And if you really want to support me, again, prowrestlingtees.com/TheKenWarren. My merch, please buy my merch. No pressure, you know. If you really love it, share it, because that's what I do. If I love things, I share it. I don't care if it's in my IG stories, if it's in my Facebook stories. I don't care if I just write about it. If I truly care about it, I view it, I check it out, I let the people know, I let the world know. And again, I am very grateful, Chana, for you having me and making this all happen audio and video-wise. Thank you so much. And most importantly for everyone else, y'all can hashtag that.
So thanks, Ken. Have a great day.
You too, good sir.